I'm going to share with you the final results from a pilot test of an intervention called Tribe Sharing Life, an educational intervention for deceased donor organ, tissue, and eye education for American Indian Tribal College students. I have no disclosures. I'd like to acknowledge our funding source, HRSA, DHHS, the Division of Transplantation, funded this research and the program of research that has been ongoing in this area for about 7 years. My colleagues on this project were Christine Baylitz, the former executive director of the South Dakota Lions Eye Bank, and Arliss Keckler, an elder from the Cheyenne River Lakota Sioux Tribe. Why is a public health nurse talking about organ donation? I asked myself that question about 8 years ago when I was invited to be a part of this research team. I said, I don't have time to do organ donation. There are so many other things to do in public health that are so much more urgent and so much more compelling. And so I'm not going to take on this project, but thank you for the invitation. And it became much more than that. My eyes were opened by the tribes and the tribal members who said, this isn't separate from diabetes and diabetes prevention and control. This is part of diabetes prevention and control for our communities. We have so many people on dialysis and so many people who could benefit from a transplant, and we think this issue is important. Last week, there were over 117,000 people on the waiting list for solid organ transplantation in this country, and most of them are waiting for a kidney. However, last year, you'll see that about 25% of the people waiting for a transplant received one, and less than 20% of the people who were waiting for a kidney received a kidney. I'd like to add that the pictures and the comments that you see throughout the presentation are quotes from tribal members who agreed to share their story as part of this research project. While American Indians and Alaska Natives account for just around 2%, or just 1.5%, depending upon whose statistics you look at, but may be underrepresented in our census, a small number of the U.S. population is approximately 4 million people, and you can see the location of the reservations and tribal lands in this country, and this project took place in Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. I'd like to talk a little bit about health disparities, but I'd like to think of them as opportunities rather than disparities. We know that type 2 diabetes is a problem nationwide. Among American Indians, it's especially a problem. 4 to 8 times more common. In fact, the Strong Heart Study, which is conducted in the Central and Northern Plains area, identified that 1 in 3 adults have type 2 diabetes in the Northern Plains area. End-stage renal disease, which is the precursor to the need for transplantation, occurs 3.5 times more commonly, and the age of onset for American Indians is much younger. So there is a demand for renal transplantation, and unfortunately, there are low cadaveric consent rates. Deceased donor consent rates vary a bit by the organ procurement organization region, but I just read some statistics from the regions that we serve, and it's really highly variable. When families are given the opportunity to consent to donate a loved one's organs, eyes, or tissues, there's quite a bit of variability by region, but it varied in the last year from 0% to 30%. While the overall procurement for deceased donors is about 70% consent. So you can see that consent is low. We also know from some genetic research that came out of Johns Hopkins that there's a better match within the tribes. In fact, in one of the bands of the Northern Plains Lakota, there was found to be a perfect HLA match. In fact, a person was 4 times more likely to find an identical match within the tribe. We also know that there are better health outcomes, lower costs, and better quality of life with transplantation. There are few past intervention studies that have addressed this need among many populations, but among American Indians. We did one prior study with the reservation dwelling Lakota in South Dakota, targeting older adults for organ and tissue education, trying to provide information so that people can make an informed decision about whether or not they want to be a donor or consent for donation for their loved ones. The challenges and solutions to conducting research with Native communities are many. Tribal priorities, if you've ever sat in a tribal council meeting or a tribal health director board meeting, the problems and the challenges that are raised are so diverse. They're everything from economics to housing to safety to diabetes prevention to cervical or breast cancer, tobacco use, substance use, or many topics that get on the agenda, and then when you add organ donation to the list, it doesn't seem like it should really even ever emerge to the top. However, everyone, every tribe that we met with, there was always someone on the tribal council who said, I know my auntie, she's waiting for a transplant, or I know my grandma, she got a kidney and now her life is just wonderful, she's bursting and she's teaching our children the language and the culture, and we need to do this for our people. And so with the stories of how diabetes was affecting the community and how transplant could improve quality of life in the community, organ donation and the need for education did emerge as a priority. However, it emerged as a priority only from the perspective of doing rather than collecting knowledge. Doing an action-driven research was requested. Let's do something that will make a difference in the life of the communities. There are many issues with conducting research with tribal communities that have come out of past injustices. Therefore, issues like trust, honesty, commitment, respect are all vital to the ongoing commitment to serving the communities. Our research approach was a community-based participatory approach where the research was led by a community advisory council composed of tribal members and some of the members of the organizations that participated in this research as ex officio. The tribal members were appointed by the tribal council or by tribal elders, and they were generally trusted people in the community who often came from chief blood and were highly respected and represented the community well. Our aim in this study was to compare two different levels of interventions in producing changes in intention to serve as an organ and tissue donor in the future. We did a randomized quasi-experiment. We compared two different levels of the intervention among American Indian young adults at tribal colleges and universities. The theoretical framework, the behavioral theory that this was based on, was the trans-theoretical model of behavior change. For those of you who know the theory or know the stages of change, it's pretty complex, and yet it was selected by the Tribal Advisory Council. And why was it selected? Well, the trans-theoretical model perspective on behavior change is that changing behavior isn't a dichotomous yes or no thing. We're not either physically active or not physically active. Behavior change is a cyclical, nonlinear process of decision making and intention formation leading towards action or maintenance of behavior change. And the tribal members on our advisory council who considered other competing behavioral theories, such as the health belief model, the theory of reasoned action, theory of planned behavior, and some empowerment theories, identified with this theory because of the cyclical, non-linear process of behavior change. However, if you're familiar with the trans-theoretical model, you know there's this element of time in the decision-making process that Prochaska has in there, and that is that you're in the a certain stage for 2 to 3 months, or you're in maintenance stage if you've been there 6 months. And the tribal advisors on this project said, take out the time element, because we really can't relate to that piece. We can relate to the cyclical process of decision making. So the trans-theoretical model and the behavior change constructs that are the mediators within the model, including self-efficacy, decisional balance, and some of the processes of behavior change, became the theoretical structure of the intervention. However, it was a community-based and culturally derived intervention that was driven by the community based on their values of generosity and the cherished tradition of storytelling. In our CBPR approach, local community members were hired to be the interventionists and trained by our tribal outreach coordinator. These community members were sometimes nursing students from the tribal colleges and universities, sometimes service learning students, but they were always paired with a tribal elder, and that was the unique twist on this intervention compared to some other work that's been done in the community or in universities with organ donation education. The tribes really felt it was important to have that tribal elder presence in the education as well. We matched TCUs, or tribal colleges and universities, by size. We had six participating colleges, then randomly assigned them to receive peer education, supplemented with print materials, classroom-based peer education, or, in the control site, print materials only. Our tribal council felt that a true control intervention would be unethical and inappropriate and too sensitive for the community. Our sample was six tribal colleges and universities. However, we did have 399 participants. I want to tell you a little bit more about the intervention, since so much of this research is more about process than it is about outcome. It was challenging to do our first research with the Lakota, and then this research combined many different tribes to come up with a common theme and a common message was a challenge that our advisory council took on. And they came up with a common value and a common belief, a common saying that was the overlying statement for the intervention, and you'll see that on some of our materials coming up. The donation education, the gold standard for education that we utilized, was that comes from HRSA, from the Division of Transplantation. The dose of the intervention was one educational session of one class period, supplemented by print materials and posters that were placed throughout the tribal colleges and the communities. In the control site, there were print materials and posters only. Those materials directed interested people to the project website, tribesharinglife.org. We worked with a Native American advertising firm, G&G Advertising, out of Billings in Albuquerque, to develop a video and website comprised of stories from tribal members who shared their stories about being a donor or recipient. We also developed the print materials and the face-to-face scripted education. The messenger for this study, I already clarified, was a member of the tribal community. Prior to testing, the intervention was evaluated by the advisory council and then by members of the community who were the intended recipients of the intervention. And there were some very good and important changes that were made based on those evaluations. And I can just tell you one of them when we go through some of the examples of the print materials. These are some posters that we made, and they're very beautiful. I couldn't have made these myself. But you see the saying at the top, we are all related. We are all of the same heart. We are all relatives, and we are all related. Those are different tribes, yet it's the same saying of we are all connected. We are connected to all people in Lakota, Mutakwe, Oyasin. In all of the other tribal languages, it's a very common and valued belief. And so that was the theme across all tribes. These posters were designed for specific tribes, such as here you see Lakota and Ojibwe. However, they were not placed exclusively in those communities. They were interchanged, and that was very much appreciated. The messaging on the intervention was all selected by the tribes. However, I'm going to leave this one up, and I'm also the one, I don't know that I can go back. Well, maybe I can. I think I can. Yeah, there we go. So look at the pictures of the people here from the Northern Cheyenne and the Salish. And then here we have the Ojibwe and the Sioux in the orange, and the Lakota Sioux members of the advisory council said, we don't like our picture in our expert evaluation. And it was because they said our people look unhealthy. They look like they're sick. Well, very much so. Those people were waiting for transplant. And so the advisory council said, what are we trying to convey? Are we trying to convey that we're college students and we're pro-donation? Are we trying to convey the community need and the community need for donation? And so do we have different pictures of some younger, healthier people for some tribes and not for others? And what does that mean? And ultimately, the consensus of the group was that we keep the pictures that are there because we want to be authentic and tell a very real story. So that's just one example of how valuable it is to have the tribal leadership involved in all aspects of this work. Here are some examples of our print materials. These are educational brochures of two different types that convey tribal member stories. You can't read these stories, but they are stories that were non-scripted that people told about their donation experience, whether they were a recipient, whether they were a donor family, or whether they were a tribal leader or tribal college or university president who supported donation. Because these states all varied in the type of registry that they have. One might have an online registry and one might have a driver's license registry, but in some states, tribal members don't even have to carry a state driver's license if they don't drive off reservation and so don't have that donor designation on their driver's license. We had a donor card that they could tear off and carry with them. What did we measure? Well, we measured stage of motivational readiness, which is a trans-theoretical concept, to be a donor, starting with pre-contemplation. I'm not thinking about being a donor. Contemplation, I'm thinking about it. Preparation, I signed a card, but I haven't talked to my family. Or I talked to my family, and I haven't signed a card or signed up in a registry. And then action is talking to the family and signing up in the registry. We measured that both pre-intervention or at the beginning of exposure to the website and at the end of exposure to the intervention. We had a better enrollment, of course, in the classroom-based approach than we did in just the online materials only, not a surprise. However, there were no significant group differences in whether or not stage of readiness changed. So it seemed that people who were exposed to the print materials and the website were also were changing in the same way that the people who in the classroom were changing. And what we found in terms of change is we looked at a statistical test that looks at progression across those stages of change, and we found that only 39% of the people stayed in the same stage. They started out not thinking about it or thinking about it and stayed there. Others progressed, 61% progressed in stage towards closer to the action stage. And that progression from pre to post was significant for those combined samples. In conclusion, there were many lessons learned from this study and many more processes that were important to being able to conduct it. But in summary, our interventions resulted in changes in decision-making to be a deceased donor, and there were larger numbers enrolled from the classroom-based approach, which had the interpersonal component. The limitations of our design was that it was randomized by site. We had self-report of stage of readiness to be an organ donor. We didn't have actual registry data to confirm that. Most of these registries do not ask for race or ethnicity at the time of enrollment. And then there are always challenges of intervention integrity or fidelity across sites when you have multiple sites and multiple interventionists, and challenges of interventionist turnover, such as family illness, dropping out of school, and not to mention the weather in the Northern Plains and Mountains region. But very gratifying work. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Good.
What was the time again between the pre and post?
In the It was done in the classroom. The pre-survey was done in the classroom and after the classroom at the beginning and after the one-hour session. On the website, at the time of going to the website, there was an initial encounter survey where people were asked about their stage, and then as they progressed through the website at the end, they had could electively complete a survey after they progressed through the website, and we were able to at least track who went to their organ donor registry page for their state, and so that post-survey, so it was a pre- and post-exposure immediate. There wasn't a delayed assessment, which I think would be better. In fact, the next study we're proposing has a one-year delay because we think the decision-making takes longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good question. And before we did this work, we did a qualitative study and on knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs. We used a social ecological perspective on about organ donation, and we discovered many challenges, which are probably well known for many minority populations, such as beliefs about the body needing to be intact to enter the spirit world. Or the spirit going in search of its parts if a part is missing and not being able to rest. And those beliefs are real and they're very important, and it's important to respect them. However, everyone who in that qualitative study also recognized that there's this need for organ donation, despite not knowing a lot about it, everyone knew about diabetes. And everybody knew someone in the community who needed a kidney. So we called that cultural beliefs, cultural transitions, because there are these cherished beliefs and values, and yet the community members were saying, we need to support donations so that we have our elders to pass on our traditions. And they also suggested ways to provide that education and outreach, which then, of course, fed into this intervention. Then we did some qualitative data collection in this study too that I just haven't gotten all analyzed yet. Thank you.